Boys and girls are doing just a wonderful job as you study the Word of God, as you learn verses, learn what it is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to live for Him, and to minister for Him, and to allow Him to minister through you. I am always encouraged when I see young people coming into leadership in the Awana ministry and being involved in serving God. And for us old folks too, that's great. But it's an encouragement to my heart to see the young people committing themselves to serve on a regular weekly basis through a ministry such as Awana. So, and to you going to Peru, God bless and encourage you and allow you to be a blessing to so many different people and missionaries you're going to work with there and serve alongside. I know we'll be incredibly blessed by having you as part of their team for a few days. It's good to be here. And David had said I had about 20 minutes. One of the things about not being able to see well anymore is I can't see the clock at the back. But I will take my watch off and put it here somewheres. You probably have heard the story of the little boy who had invited his best buddy to come to church with him. The little guy had never been in church before, so he was always asking, "What's that for?" And to the dad, and "What's this for?" and "What's that for?" And when the pastor took his watch off and laid it on the pulpit like that, the little guy said, "What's that mean?" And the dad said, "It doesn't mean a thing." So, I'll try to keep an eye on it there for you. You know, Leon and I are so thankful for your support and encouragement of our ministry here in Atlantic Canada. We are currently working with 56 churches throughout Atlantic Canada, and we have at least one new one coming on, probably two or three this year coming up. And so we're excited about that, and would ask that you would continue to pray for us as we minister. As you're probably somewhat aware, there is a transition in ministry in the Awana ministry in Canada, and I'm excited about what God is going to do in the days ahead, but as with any transition, there's always things that you have to learn again and all kinds of things like that. So there are challenges for us as Awana missionaries as we begin ministering next week with the new identity, Awana International Canada. And so we had asked for your prayers on our behalf in that regard, as well as you as a church and the other churches with the Awana ministry here in Atlantic Canada and across our great country as we transition to new ministry. But the bottom line, things have not changed in Awana. We are still founded upon the Word of God. And we believe strongly as we possibly can, is the Word of God that changes lives. And Isaiah 55:11 is still a part of Scripture, and it says that God's word will not return empty-handed or void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which God has intended it. And of course, one of the greatest of all those purposes from Genesis to Revelation is the scarlet thread of redemption and coming to a point at Calvary where Christ bought us, redeemed us, bought us back from our sinful and desperate state, and He redeemed us through His precious blood and through the message and the ministry of Calvary. And so that hasn't changed in Awana. We still are founded upon the Word of God. We still believe that the Word of God changes lives and prepares boys and girls, moms and dads, leaders to serve Him and to live for Him in the days ahead. So the program tools really haven't changed. Well, there's a few little changes coming as always, but the program tools really haven't changed. Your Awana missionary hasn't changed. We're still your Awana missionaries, and we're excited to see and looking forward to see what God is going to do as he tarries in his return, and allows us to continue to reach into our communities and to see the difference that the Lord Jesus Christ can make in the lives of boys and girls and moms and dads.
If you have your Bibles, I would invite you, we're going to look at a key word in what we want to look at this morning is the word light. And if you would turn in your Bibles to John 8 and verse 12 is where we're going to begin.
And as we do that, let's ask the Lord to bless this time. Father, take and use your word to change my life and to change our lives corporately together. Father, may we be aware of the difference that you can make in our lives and how that difference is not designed to be hidden, but rather to be shared with our neighbors and with our friends and those we go to work with, those we play with at school and learn together with at school. In every area of our life, you desire that we let our light shine for you. And so, Father, help us to understand that basic truth this morning in your precious and awesome name. Amen. Now, in this sanctuary, it would be difficult to get a completely dark room up here. I mean, even at night, you know, there's enough lights around Charlottetown that the light would come in, even if we pulled all the drapes and tried to seal it off. It would probably be difficult to get this room completely dark. Maybe down in the basement might be a little easier. Maybe down in the furnace room down there, there's no windows, I'm not sure. It might be possible to get almost complete darkness down there. But you know, darkness really is the word that we use to explain the absence of light. And we live in a world that is pretty well full of light. There are lights from city lights, our own lights in our home, wherever they might be. Most of us probably have a flashlight or something like that that we can use in an emergency, or we use to find something that where there's no light available, we take the flashlight and we shine it around. And there are lights available to almost every one of us here in North America in particular. And in most of the countries around the world today, there is that sense of having light somewhat available to you. Our daughter and son-in-law are missionaries in Mozambique, Africa, and even there, through generators and what have you, they do have light. And even some of the people they minister, or most of the people they minister to, have some form of a light that's available to them. So to find that absolute darkness is pretty difficult these days. When we stop and we look at our society today, and even amongst our churches, there is a darkness. And that darkness is not a physical darkness, but rather a spiritual darkness. And we live in the midst of some very dark times. Now, I'm not necessarily convinced that it is any darker from the aspect of sin, from a spiritual aspect, than it was back in the days of Christ. It, probably the big difference is that we hear of it and see of it, and it is told to us more. But I'm not convinced that it is any more sinful today than it was back in the day of Christ. But we certainly do live in dark days. In days of a spiritual darkness that has swept across our country and across our nation and across our world. And the Bible talks about the blindness or the fact that we are living in darkness from a spiritual aspect. It even comes into our clubs. I've had the privilege of being an Awana leader for 33 years, 25 of those as an Awana missionary. I'm a Cubbies leader in our church. For 31 of those 33 years, I've managed to escape being a Cubbies leader. You know, 3 and 4 year olds scare me. I'd rather speak to this whole auditorium full of junior hires or senior hires any day than to go and to speak or to visit and to be a leader for 3 and 4 year olds. They scared me. Well, this is my second year now, so, you know, I'm getting a little bit over that. But they are some incredible kids. I was telling David and his family this morning, Leo and I were telling him about a little girl that we have by the name of Bailey. Now, Bailey is one of these very tightly wound, blonde, curly-haired drama queens at 3 years of age. And I get to be the storyteller in Cubbies. And most times I enjoy it, but sometimes it's like, okay, I think I'm way over their heads. And I'm not sure if this is what happened in this case, but about a month ago, a little bit better than a month ago, I was teaching on sin, Romans 3:23, all have sinned. And I thought it was a pretty clear concept, you know, even for 3 and 4 year olds. And so I'm explaining that I'm a sinner, even as a missionary, and that all of our leaders are sinners, and that all of the Cubbies were all sinners, for the Bible says, for all have sinned. And we've been trying to teach kids with their hands up. Well, Bailey's one of these ones that when she puts her hands up, her mouth goes in her ear automatically. And Bailey says, well, Mr. Kevin, you may be a sinner, but I'm not. And then she goes in the best grammar she can do. And all of us Cubbies are pretty good kids. We're not sinners. Well, thus ended the lesson. At that point, I'm like, okay, maybe we'll come back and approach this another day, which we did. She didn't respond to it that way. But you know, we are growing up in a society where the word sin really is not used. Even in amongst our evangelical churches, it seems to be something that has been, well, if not ignored, at least set to the side in favor of some other words or terms. But the Bible makes it very clear, even for Bailey, in that for all have sinned. And so there is the darkness of sin in this world. And in John chapter 8, we have the antidote, if you want to look at it that way, or the source of light to dispel the darkness that's in our world today. And this is what we try with the boys and girls in Awana. And as your leaders work, as your leaders invest in these precious children, your children, children from the neighborhood, we are trying to bring them to a relationship and to a point of trusting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And in John chapter 8 and verse 12, it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus made it very clear that he was the light of the world. But he didn't come into this world as the light of the world to keep it just for himself. I'm sure he could have. He was God. I'm sure that if he so was appointed by God to keep it to himself, that he would have. But that wasn't God's plan. God sent the light of the world into the world so that you and I would not be in darkness any longer, but rather have the light of life within us. And as you consider that thought, I want to challenge you that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior here this morning, and I would take a guess that probably most of us here know Christ as our Savior, that we're part of God's family, and if so, then we have a light within us. It is the light of life. That darkness, think back to that totally dark room, it doesn't take very much light, does it? Make a difference there. Strike a match in that totally dark room and you will have light, and it pushes that darkness away. Because you see, darkness and light cannot exist in the same place. It is impossible for the darkness to exist, even when it's just one small match that lights up that room. They can't exist in the same place. As just like sin and God cannot exist in the same place. It's impossible for sin to be in the presence of God. It can't happen. It's impossible. And that's why Jesus Christ went to the cross and he gave his life, he shed his blood, he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He did all of that so that our sin could be paid for, so that we can be in the presence of God. And one day we will be with God for eternity in heaven. And our sin has been paid for so that we can stand in the presence of God. Oh, we'll stand in awe, we'll bow in awe. I'm not sure how that's all going to take place. But we will be where God is because our sin has been paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, by his death, by his burial, by his resurrection, and the power that he brings to our lives, he brings to each one of us that have trusted Christ as our Savior, the light of life. Now, we sing a little chorus. I'm way behind David, so I'm not even going to try to sing for you. But you all know it. This little light of mine, I'm going to watch. Let it shine. You know, it is against all logic and common sense to have light. We go on, that song say, hide it under a bushel. No! It doesn't make sense to have light and to hide it under a bushel so that it cannot be seen. There's no comprehension of that. There's nothing that makes sense about that. And that's exactly how God wants us to live our lives. In a manner that allows his light of life, the very source of our life here on earth as well as for eternity, to hide that and to put it under a bushel so that nobody can see it. Now, it's pretty easy to let our light shine here. I mean, nobody's telling you that you can't do that here at church. Nobody's saying, no, don't say anything about Jesus here. No, I can't say anything about Jesus. It's pretty easy to let our light shine here this morning. You know, unless you're nodding off, and then, you know, we'll forgive you for that. But it's pretty easy to do that. But where God expects our light to shine, obviously, is here. Yes, but also where we go when we leave the doors of the assembly. When we leave the doors of this meeting place, God expects us to allow our little light to shine. And even if it's just little, God allows it to shine and to draw others to him. There's another part of the Bible that talks about the fact that a city that is set on a hill cannot be easily hidden. Now, here in Atlantic Canada, that might be a little hard to visualize, all right? But we were the Iwana missionaries in Manitoba and northwestern Ontario for almost 19 years. And believe me, out there, a hill is anything like 3 to 4 feet off the ground. That's a hill out there. That's a big hill. And so I can understand the principle where it's so totally flat that you can see a city miles and miles and miles away, even if it is set up on a little bit of a hill. It's hard to hide. And that's what God wants us to do with our light of life, the light of salvation. God wants us to make sure that our lives are a living testimony, a living sanctuary, the boys and girls sang so beautifully, of the
what we're all about in Awana. We're all about boys and girls coming to know, love, and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all about boys and girls coming into that personal relationship with Jesus Christ and having His light, the light of the world, become the light of life in our lives. And then we teach and model serving the Lord Jesus Christ and to know Him deeper, to know Him in a way that we walk with Him day by day. And in a very simple phrase, we desire to see boys and girls come to know, love, and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The light of salvation, the light of life that comes into our lives. A couple other thoughts on the word light. Psalms 119, 105 is a familiar verse to us. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 119, 105. Not only is God's word and God the source of light within us, the light of life that draws others to the Lord Jesus Christ, that helps others understand the difference that Jesus can make in their lives. Psalms 119, 105 tells us that God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. As these boys and girls continue to grow in Him, as we all continue to grow, none of us are finished growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, if the Apostle Paul says that he hadn't arrived yet, there's still room for me, all right? I haven't arrived yet. I'm growing. I'm learning. I'm seeking His guidance. And God's Word is a source, the source of guidance. It's when I choose to go in my own strength or in my own way that oftentimes I end up in all messed up in something. Things just aren't going the way they should be. And I know I have a tendency, maybe some of you do too, it's like, you know, we make the plans and everything else and then it's like, oh yeah, God, you're going to bless us, right? What I have learned in the years of ministry and serving the Lord is very simply, when I seek His wisdom, His direction, His guidance, then I know the path to go. And I can walk confident in not my strength or my wisdom or my creativity. I can walk confident in His direction. And you know, I as I thought about this and as I've, you know, have begun to have reduced sight, I find it interesting that I'm speaking on a subject that's called light. But as I've always just kind of thought, well, you know, a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. Don't just lighten the whole path up. And I realized that, you know, sometimes we need to have that focused light right where we are. So that lamp under my feet, that's a light that's right there in front of me, helping me walk step by step by step in the path that is lighted. Yes. But, you know, I know I do. So we know step by step He's with us, as well as the ongoing, longer path that we go. Now, I don't know if you boys and girls have ever been driving with your mom and dad, and your dad's driving, and your mom will say something like this, you know, David, are you sure we're not lost? And David will go, oh, no, this is the way to go, yeah. And then a few minutes later, Mom will say, David, we're lost, aren't we? And eventually us guys get around to admitting that, well, you know, we were on the CD group, but now we are lost totally. You know, we have GPSs now. We had maps. We still have maps. We can ask someone for directions and everything else. But we don't want to do that, it seems. I don't know what it is about us guys, but I've never heard a lady say that. Maybe they're just better at getting there. I don't know. But we need directions, don't we? And I find now that I need more directions than I ever did. And so I need that guidance, that direction that God brings into our lives. Even in a physical way, we need need that direction even so much more. We need the light of the guidance of God's word. Not only do we need the light of salvation, that light of life, and not only do we need the light of guidance, but over in Proverbs we read in Proverbs 6:23 that we need the light of the wisdom and knowledge of God's word. In Proverbs 6:23 it says, For the commandments is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproof of instruction are the way of life. The law, the giving of the word of God, the commandments of the word of God, they are a light and a lamp in our life. Not just to guide us, but to establish the rock-solid foundation upon which we live our lives. We can be led or we can be molded and instructed and guided by so many different things. Not even evil things. But that is included in so many ways. And whether it's over the internet or the TV or the media, the newsprint, what we read, so many different things and so many different ways to mold and shape our lives. And they may not be evil, but they may not be molding our lives to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're going to have wisdom and understanding in the lives of our precious boys and girls here this morning, in our lives as leaders, and in our lives collectively, we need that source of wisdom and understanding. Now, I'm not talking just about knowledge. Satan has a lot of knowledge, but he doesn't have wisdom and understanding. And as we read through the stories of the Old Testament and on through into the New Testament, we understand that the great men and women of God had something very much in common, yes, following God with their heart, their passion, their soul, but they also received from God's word wisdom and understanding. It's not, and it isn't, just a head knowledge. That is part of it. But so many people are educated in our society today. We have more information available to us today than at any other point in the history of mankind. We have more education. We have more training. We have more sources of education and training. All put together, we have more education today and capability and ability to access that education. But I'm not convinced that we have more wisdom or understanding. And what God desires in our lives is not to have all the educational credits that we can get behind our name. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. Not at all. But God doesn't look at the BAs and the BSCs and then all the way down, the MDs and all of that. God doesn't look at that. He looks at how we take our knowledge, our education, and how he is able to turn that into wisdom and into the capability of displaying that wisdom with those who we meet and those who we rub shoulders with day by day. So this morning, I just want to encourage you. If you do not have the light of life this morning, you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You may have heard about Jesus. You may have memorized verses about Jesus. You may have sat in church maybe most of your life. But unless you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you do not have the light of life. And my prayer this morning would be that you would trust Jesus Christ, accept his gift salvation through the finished work of the cross, and that you would enter into that.
that relationship with our Creator, our God, the Heavenly Father, and that at that point you now have the light of life in your life. For those of us who proclaim the name of Christ, we profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We're part of God's family. Then we need to let the light of life shine. Not to brag on us, no, but to draw others to the source of that light, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we need to make sure that we are seeking His direction, His guidance, the light of guidance that comes from the Word of God, that He promises to us, so that we're not stumbling around in the dark, but rather we're walking in His path, in His way, doing what He would have us to do, not seeking our own way. And then He would have us to have not just simply knowledge, but to have wisdom and understanding of the Word of God, the light and the illumination that comes from the wisdom that only God can take the knowledge and turn it into. Wisdom that will guide others and encourage others, will direct and challenge others. May God bless us today as we seek to be a light for Him, follow His light and guide us, and seek the light of His wisdom and understanding. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these precious boys and girls, for the moms and dads, the Iwana leaders. Thank you that we have freedom in our great country to be able to come and to gather together as we do this morning. But Father, you did not send us into this world and leave us in this world to be a mass huddle here. You gave us the fellowship of believers to do that, the fellowship to encourage, to challenge and